pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Back to the Jeff Poor Show with Talk 106.5. Hour number three begins right now. Text line, it would be in touch with me, your show host, 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program if you so desire. We'll get to your text here in just a moment. Coming up here in about a half hour, Dick Brubaker will be with us, one of our regulars. He'll be here at the bottom of the hour, so stick around for that. We're in the, I think it was like a panic mode or something of the election cycle, but I am in Montgomery, and tonight will be the 1819 News, 1819news.com debate. Barry Moore just bailed out of it, citing votes on the House floor tonight, so he will not be in attendance, but we will have Lieutenant Governor and Attorney General, and then an appearance from Jared Hudson tonight in Montgomery. So that's where I am. That's why it sounds a little different today than it does. In the meantime, we'll let you know what happens, and I'll draft some questions, and we'll walk through what we think of the candidates. We spent a lot of time on the U.S. Senate race, Jared Hudson, and Barry Moore, the two candidates in that race, and the controversy being about military service. Also, the real controversy here, I guess, right now is some documents published in Lanyap. Now, the headline at Lanyap right now is Tuberville threatens Lanyap with injunction, a story from Scott Johnson. In a cease and desist letter emailed Saturday afternoon, the former Auburn coach's attorneys demanded the article be removed, accused Lanyap of unlawfully accessing information, claimed it was illegally published without Tuberville's consent, and argued it was not protected speech under the First Amendment. Well, essentially what had happened, the Tuberville campaign released tax forms to the Alabama Republican Party and Kim McFeeters. Kim McFeeters was the candidate, probably the primary candidate that Tommy Tuberville was facing in the Republican primary, even though it was kind of a blowout election. And he's challenging Tuberville's eligibility to run, and we've had this discussion about residency. Part of the challenge, it can be heard. It can be heard by the Republican Party Steering Committee. And they're going to have a hearing. But they're collecting, and we had Scott Stanagan talk about this. They're collecting evidence. They're collecting documents. And they're going to have a real full hearing about this and see what happens. When McFeeters got the tax forms, he sent them to the media. Sent them to some outlets around the media. I think Kyle Whitmire and obviously our friends at Lanyap. What they did not do, they redacted a lot of it. What they did not redact, there was a barcode at the bottom of the forms, and I guess people who know what they're doing, accountants and whatnot, know how to use the barcode to access the entirety of the form, and it revealed all the unredacted information. To which Friday afternoon, there was a Lanyap story about it. And now Lanyap has, I guess, as of Saturday, gotten a cease and desist letter. And let's see, a letter from their attorney, Bert Jordan, as we are calling him around town. Your conduct and that of the organization is not protected by the First Amendment. It involves unlawful acquisition and the publication of statutorily protected tax and income data for a person, especially when that person is an official of the United States. And there you have it. So Tuberville versus Lanyap unfolding before our eyes. In the meantime, 251-343-0106. Also, we talked about it with Dale at length and Barry Moore and his military service being called into question. Josh Moon, my friend, with a story this morning, or a column this morning, I should say, and claiming he was threatened with legal action. Probably not a smart move to threaten media outlets with legal action, but we see it right now in at least two of the races underway here, and I don't know how people react to that. Some people just don't like the media. Maybe they will react favorably to it, but I'm curious to know what you think. 251-343-0106. I'm going to roll through some text here. When equities have a P.E. ratio above 30 years back to investment via dividends, and it's not really a good time to buy. AutoVest is in the bubble. Government nails everyone out when it busts. Welcome to the 21st century economics, negative yield curves and all bells everyone out. That from Rock and Roll Doctor. Tyler, as a veteran, I don't view him as one. Just have my knowledge from your conversations with Dale. Ultra Runner Ivy's staff sent me a Jedi mind trick letter. I contacted her back when she declared Alabama was in no position to address redistricting. Her response ignored her 180-degree change and instead touted her leadership on redistricting. The message was clear. Forget why you wrote to me. I was always for it. These are not the droids you are looking for. Squirrelverine, the gays are clearly out to influence, and they know it. It is not, nor has it ever been, about live and let live. I have seen remarks about wanting to train them while they're young, etc. Mike, didn't Moore claim to be a staff sergeant and a six-year veteran when he wrote a letter condemning the goofball governor of Minnesota? That is an issue if he has been misrepresenting himself. The misrepresentation on its own form is a form of stolen valor he accused Tim Walz of. My understanding this is their side of the story, Mike, that it was a mistake. That he, I guess, signed the letter and didn't really know what it was going to, but it doesn't matter. He signed the letter, but since then they have said it's a mistake. Does that change it? I don't know. Be dark. Take a look at my flag, and he's got a heritage, not hate, Confederate flag flying somewhere. Named texture Barry Moore wants to be present to vote for $18 billion for Ukraine and not the Save America Act! Exclamation point. So he is away on votes. Won't be at the debate tonight, but I mean, it was a long shot, but we had to try to work it in somehow. Maybe we should have done it on the weekend. I don't know. But those are the brewing controversies in your Alabama political landscape. And a week from Tuesday or a week from tomorrow, can't get here soon enough. We always have something like this. I am surprised we didn't have more of this throughout the primary election cycle. You had a little bit of the mudslinging with the AG candidates. That's since really cooled off. Lieutenant governor as well, but I don't know where that race is. Listen, like, the problem with some of these elections has been Alabama's so hard to poll. And the polling sort of pointed us in one direction, and then we had the primary day. And it was the Trump-endorsed candidates, two of them, who outperformed expectations. Was Barry Moore and John Wall. We kind of saw some separation on the AG's race. Maybe that was a little more evident in the final tally than we had expected. The other races have all been big question marks because of the high number of undecideds. Here's what I think. I think you're going to have a low turnout event next Tuesday. And I say this every cycle. In a runoff, you can look at the polling, make your own assessments. But if the sample's off, if the sample is just slightly off based on geography, that they polled, they expected a higher turnout in Huntsville than they did in Montgomery or whatever. And it's just off just a little bit. It's not a percentage game. It's a raw vote total game. And you have to assess these polls. You really have to look hard at the numbers of where they polled people. Where do the, what is it based off of? And a lot of the polling was basing turnout off of past elections, which is a perfectly reasonable thing to do. Well, this many people turned out and this percentage of people turned out in this number in the Wiregrass, this percentage in coastal Alabama, this percentage in the Tennessee Valley, and they create a model where they poll the number of people in each of those regions of the state based on past elections. But not all these elections are going to have that same dynamic, that you may have a circumstance on next Tuesday where more people just show up to vote for Barry Moore from the Wiregrass for whatever reason. He's the hometown kid. And as a proportion of the electorate, it may be higher. Or they may see something they want to vote for. You may have depressed turnout in Mobile. You know, maybe you don't have a Mobile candidate on the ballot. You don't have a hometown guy to vote for. This is what happens. And it's just really, you really got to kind of be on top of it and make educated guesses about where the turnout's going to be in each part of the state, because I think that's sort of what the hurdle the pollsters can't overcome in Alabama is understanding, well, why would it change from election to election to election? How much money are campaigns spending in one market versus another? Are, you know, there's all these different variables in the polling that can impact the outcome, and the polling could be way, way off because of that, because it's such a low turnout event. And when there's a discrepancy, when there's a mistake, the mistake shows up in bigger, bigger numbers than it would in any other election, where you have a bigger amount of people, a bigger number of people. Let's keep rolling here. Be dark. Look at the car under the flag. What is that? Is that a state trooper? I can't tell. Sorry, the problem with B-Dark is when you send me a text photo that it just is so small. It's just I'm sorry. You'll have to just tell me what it is. CB Carl, when Moore found an excuse to not be at your debate tonight, did he go ahead and forward you a copy of his DD-214 to settle this ongoing controversy? So I have a DD-214, I think, but it's only for his. Or maybe it's not even that. It's all these forms. It is very, very confusing to understand what they are. But he set a form that showed it tallied up the service, and it counted the IRR service. They argue that you don't get a DD-214 for his service. He's counting his reserve service, which, as you heard from Dale, he doesn't think that's valid. Do you think it's valid? I don't know. You would know, CB Carl, way more than I would on this topic. Mike, is everyone basically listening to Trump Weekly claiming there's going to be a peace deal in a few days? I'm guessing Thursday's talking point will be it's going to be a peace deal at Trump's GOC event, and Israel will do their thing and shake hornet's nest again. Mike, to be honest, I don't know what to believe on that. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Living on the road, my friend, was going to keep you free and clean.
Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poole Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106 is the text line. Tomorrow on the program, we'll hopefully be back at the home studio, or my home studio, the Fairhope Bureau. Will Hampson, a couple other guests to be named later. Old guy, call Dodd Shipley. He will get to the bottom of it. I see. Can you read this? I'll do my best, B Dark. No slaves were bought or sold under this flag. Yeah, I can't read the rest of that, but I see a picture of the Confederate flag, and it's hard to read. I'm sorry. Leo, it's simple, Jeff. No DD-214, no military service. The form is clearly marked. Yeah, well, what they have offered me, and I can tell you, maybe somebody, we could crowdsource this a little bit, but they have sent me some forms kind of explaining their side of it. We're going to do a wrap up. I would expect it at 1819 News, 1819news.com at 2 o'clock, and at least give them the opportunity to have their side of the story out there on this stuff. But let's see. It is a NGB Form 22 is what I have offered. I have a veteran's ID card. And that, let's see, that, well, this is what they write. Only in 2022 did it become a requirement for members of the Guard to get a DD-214. Guardsmen who served basic training and never deployed to 2022 didn't get a DD-214, but they did get an NGB-22, which Barry Moore has provided. So does that satisfy the question here? Do we think Barry Moore is a veteran? I mean, I think probably. It's not something he really ran on, but it's come up, and I don't think it came up in his election with, well, first off, the 2020 election, it didn't really come up with Jeff Coleman. And then in 24, it didn't come up with Jerry Carl. And they sort of been running on it in the past two congressional elections. This time, my guess, with Jared Hudson, who does have a distinguished military career, it's something that he really could make an issue out of. Jason asks, how can I view the debate tonight? Will it be available live? It should be. I think we're going to run it on our social media. It's 1819 News on multiple platforms. Probably Facebook's your best bet. So, I don't know the specifics there. To be honest, I've been so keenly focused on the questions and just sort of getting organized and getting ready for it. Debate season, I have moderated like 10 debates or 10 forums and debates already this cycle. So this will be the big last hurrah, I think. Leo writes, completing boot camp does make you a veteran. Well, and his claim is 2.5 years of National Guard service. And then he, I think, moved to Wisconsin to take a job. Was absolved from the rest of his contract. I'm not sure how that works either, but was in the reserves. And they count that for a grand total of 8 years as military service. But that's what I have. I have an NGB 22, and I'm looking at it right now. And it has different aspects of his military service. A total of net service for the period as a guardsman, 2 years, 6 months, and 21 days. And, yeah, so there you have it. 251-343-0106. Dick Brubaker coming up in the next segment, so stick around. This is the Jeff Ford Show at F and Talk 106.5. And it probably always will. And on the old town's
Square under the barbershop pole. They set me up in the chair.
The old school ways I repair up here. We got Rebel Flags flying and Budweiser beer. Plenty of snow in the middle of June on a hot and muggy afternoon. Line by line, Ben Ideas. It's life in Dixie with these Alabama blues.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show. Well, if it's Talk 106.5, thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with the program. It's 251-343-0106. Time permitting, we'll get to your text, and I'll do my best to go through those. Joining us now, he's a regular on this show, always insightful, but we appreciate his time. Former State Senator Dick Brubaker is on the program. Senator, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm out here by church, first day of vacation Bible school. What could be better than that?
Hey, it is the. I mean, I think that's like at a lot of churches today, the first day of vacation Bible school. So there we have it. How much you keep it up with this? A week from tomorrow cannot come soon enough.
Oh, absolutely. I knew something was up with Congressman Moore when Trump had to retweet his endorsement with some. Let's just say some different language and different sources, places of emphasis. But, you know, hey, that's politics.
It is. And I don't know. I mean, Barrymore always under polls. And I mean, like he had a 15-point margin over second place in the primary. Now, I mean, we've seen it before where those results can flip, but he still seems like a pretty good pick.
Oh, yeah,
right.
I think Barry's a lot. And look, the thing is, you know, you've got to be careful when you talk about veterans, being a veteran and veterans issue these days. You know, pretty much, you know, I was in the National Guard. Used to drill at Fort Taylor Hardin with the 31st Support Battalion. But when I was in public office and they would ask veterans, you know, to stand up, I never did. And the reason was that the veterans who were standing up, even the other guardsmen, had all been deployed. I mean, they'd been to Iraq twice and had served, you know, in wartime. And I didn't feel like it was right for me to claim some sort of equal status with those guys because I showed up 1 weekend a month. And, you know, I enjoyed being in the Guard, but let's face it. Unless you're one of those guardsmen that gets pulled on to involuntary active service, it's not really the same thing as being, you know, a ranger. And a lot of politicians like to throw this. They use being a veteran sort of like some politicians use Christianity as sort of a take advantage of the idea that Alabamians feel like if you're in the military and go to a church, you must be a good person. And I don't know. It's kind of risky politics. And if you get called on it, you better be able to back it up.
Well,
and I think that's what Barry's trying to deal with.
Well, do you think he meets the criteria of being a veteran?
Well, he served. And if he is honorably discharged,
and he was,
I don't think, even if he didn't complete his contract, if the military gave him an honorable discharge and not a convenience discharge, yeah, he's a veteran.
Well, then,
I mean, you know, if he's got an honorable discharge from the Guard, that means that the military was happy with the service and they, in their mind, he completed it honorably. So I don't think Barry's got a problem with that.
Now, he may have played a little fast and loose with the timelines or whatever, but it's not like he just didn't serve and just put that on his campaign literature. He did serve in some capacity.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to matter. And, you know, the way politics seems to be going now, the main reason people are voting for Barry Moore, it's not even the Trump endorsement, even though that's important. You know, when he was in Congress, he did one hell of a good job. I mean, when it comes to passing legislation and actually working, I think he was one of the most effective congressmen in that chamber. And when you consider the fact that he was not acting as the chairman of a powerful committee, he was just out there working, and he got a lot of stuff done. And most of those guys can't say that.
Yeah, he would do these hearings, and I mean, they would. He would work with the, even as a Freedom Caucus guy. You would see him. Now, this was early on in his tenure. I mean, you know, doing stuff with some of the Democrats, and you know, but I don't. Maybe that goes unnoticed, but we're kind of at high alert here, and this never came up, Senator, during his races with Jeff Coleman or Jerry Carl. It came up here. I think, I mean, obviously Jared Hudson's a former Navy SEAL, and then it does become a discussion.
Well, you know, my son is in active duty with the 75th Ranger Regiment. But the idea that because you have served, that necessarily qualifies you to hold public office, I don't really get that connection. I mean, the things that make a good congressman are being able to work with people, caring about your constituents. And I mean, that's the sort of thing that determines whether or not you're going to be effective in Congress, not whether or not, you know, you were in a combat zone.
Well, it's this. I think it's a footnote on, like I said, a mailer or a campaign sign. It's just there. It's just part of the brand. It's not the biggest part of the brand, but where he's getting in trouble is the timeline of it and the questions about what counts and what doesn't. And that's where he's being called out. It's not so much
substance of the service. If he's honorably discharged from any branch of the active duty military or the reserve or National Guard, by any definition I know of, he's a veteran.
Yeah, well, I think he checks the box to be a veteran. It's just how much of it is, you know, I guess the quality of the service or whatever it may be, that's what's in question. But we'll see where this heads.
Well, I think Barry what's so unfortunate about all this is, you know, Barry's record speaks for itself. You know, there are plenty of reasons to vote for Barry Moore that have nothing to do with his military status or even with the Trump endorsement. I mean, just his record in Congress shows that if you send him to Congress, he's going to work really hard, and he's even willing to take political risks and talk to people on the other side, which occasionally you have to do if you want to be effective. I mean, if I have a beef with the Freedom Caucus, it's usually that their influence is almost entirely negative. They're much more effective at stopping things than getting anything done. Yeah. And there's certainly a place for that. But Barry's proven he knows when to be a roadblock, but he also is willing to take some political risks and actually try to pass things. And that's getting a more and more unusual with congressmen from conservative states. Most of them just vote no all the time and won't take the risk of saying, I am for this. And which is one of the reasons Congress is so unproductive now. Everybody's afraid to vote for anything.
The other controversy, if you want to call it that, we're still litigating Tommy Tuberville's residency. And I tell people, I mean, I got back in the Alabama game probably 2018, but I got on the air in Huntsville in 2019. And that was 7 years ago. And I saw Tommy Tuberville around Alabama at political events. That was 7 years ago. I don't know that this is going to be what stops Tommy Tuberville from being governor. These questions.
Listen, the courts, when it comes to residency requirements, let's face it. We've had senators like, remember Walking Wendell Mitchell? He represented Luverne, that area in the state Senate. But he didn't live in Luverne. He lived right there off of Bond Road Park in Montgomery, Alabama, sent his kids to St. James. I mean, his residency was in Montgomery, Alabama, but the courts didn't care. They said, you know, and the court's attitude was, if the people in that Luverne district, they voted for him repeatedly, and if they want him to represent them, who are we to say they can't? And the people of Alabama are going to speak and say, we want Tommy Tuberville to be governor, and we don't really care about all these quibbles about his residency. Once he gets elected governor, you'll be able to find his residency on South Perry Street.
Well, so that, I mean, but there is a constitutional requirement here that is going to be litigated, and I think he fulfills it. I don't know. There was a, I don't know if you're keeping up with this. My friends at Lanyap got a hold of his tax returns, and they redacted a lot of what was submitted, but I guess there's a barcode that you can scan, and it will show all the, and they got all the unredacted stuff. And some of the income was declared earned in Florida where they don't have a state income tax, and some in Alabama where they do. And that sort of muddles the picture for, you know, for what I don't know that this is going to stop Tommy Tuberville, but it certainly creates a lot of smoke.
Look, if Barack Obama can be president of the United States with his residency issues, I think that Tommy Tuberville can be governor of Alabama. And, you know, the only reason Doug Jones is on the ballot, because he knows that if it goes to election day and Tommy's on the ballot, Tommy's going to beat him like a redheaded stepchild. The only reason he's on the ballot is this Hail Mary idea that the courts at the last minute are going to throw Tommy off the ballot so he gets the governorship by default. And that's not going to happen. Not with the Alabama Supreme Court as currently constituted.
Well, what it does, I mean, you can run for governor. There's no prohibition against running for governor. It's can you be governor? So he could win the election. And it's will he have been a resident 7 years when he sets foot on the Capitol steps there, takes his oath of office? And that's it. Now,
I don't know, but I don't think people, you know, the things that I care about in politics, I have found that a lot of other people don't care about. Like, if I was looking at this ballot, I would say I'm not going to vote for anybody who voted for that gas tax, no matter how many commercials they run claiming that they're low-tax conservatives. If they voted for that, they're just tax and spenders in my book. But most Alabamians don't seem to feel that way. And when it comes to residency, I just don't think people in Alabama are just all that concerned about it.
I don't either.
They want Tommy Tuberville to be the governor, and so I think he's going to be the governor.
Well, Jeff Sessions tried to make this an issue in that runoff in 2020, and it did not stick.
And it didn't work.
No, he ran commercials and ads, and they tried, but they just nothing touched it. I mean, he beat Jeff Sessions probably, was one of the most popular Republicans in Alabama at one time, and he sort of dethroned him.
Well, let's face it, you know, I know there are things about Coach that some establishment Republicans don't like, but what I think the establishment Republicans don't realize is the things that Tommy does that they don't like are the reasons that regular Alabamians like him a lot. They like the fact that Tommy doesn't, that he speaks his mind and he doesn't particularly run around wringing his hands worrying about what the BCA thinks. You know, that he's going to do what he thinks is right. And I think he'll be a governor that'll actually try to lead. And gosh, we need that so badly right now. I mean, the governor's chair has been essentially vacant in Alabama for the last 4 years. And the state has suffered for it.
There's just no clear direction, no leadership. I mean, other than the four-lane highway in West Alabama, it just, you're right.
Which is a terrible idea.
Seems like autopilot.
Well, somebody's on, whoever's on loan from the business community is actually running that executive branch, because like this West Alabama Causeway is not economic development. I mean, what that is giving all of the money from the gas tax to the part of the state that put the least, that contributed the least money. And the real money that funds that gas tax comes from the interstate corridor, you know, Mobile, Montgomery, Birmingham, Gadsden, Huntsville. That's where the money comes from. But those areas are going to essentially get nothing so Kay Ivey can have her legacy and pour it down a black hole in West Alabama where it's not going to make any difference.
No, you're right.
I mean, what industry is that causeway going to serve? There's no industry out there.
It's logging trucks. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how often you drive into Black Belt, but you go down some of the state highways and then they're worn out. The truck traffic there is just hammering the roads there.
Well, most people would say that the thing to do is to economic development would be using the money to help the Port of Mobile get those containers, out of the port and build infrastructure to serve industries that already exist, not to build a super expensive highway in West Alabama and hope that some industry will show up to use it. I mean, that's not how this is supposed to be done.
No, there's just the problem with that school of thought is there's no people there. So you're not going to get a big manufacturing facility in West Alabama because of a four-lane highway, because they can't put it there because there's no one in, that's qualified with the skill sets necessary to work there. It's just not,
even if you were going to assume we're going to hire people and just train them from the ground up, then there's not enough people out there that are in that sweet spot of, most manufacturers, they want to hire people in their mid-20s. And, if you look at the demographics in West Alabama, it's like the demographics in Montgomery. I mean, the population is
shrinking.
Well, let's just say there are a lot more people over 55 than under it.
Hey, Senator, we got to jump. We're out of time, but I always appreciate you making time for us.
Hey, man, I enjoy doing it. Thanks for letting me be on your show.
All right, former State Senator Dick Brubaker there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Like that singing song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Send it on down the line. Hello, West Virginia coal miner. Let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living.
Welcome back to the show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Monday morning. I guess we lost the text line. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll have Will Hampson with P2 Public Affairs and some other guests to be named later. Probably work that out here. Probably tonight. Tonight I will be moderating a debate here. That's where we are in Montgomery, by the way. So updates on that tomorrow when we get back. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
Yeah, first question, will that be the debate tonight be streaming, or where will we get that?
The Facebook, I believe, the Facebook 1819 News Facebook page for sure. Maybe, I think we have a YouTube channel, I'm not sure, but I know on the Facebook page it will be live streamed.
Okay, so, and that starts at what time?
6 o'clock.
Okay, 6 o'clock tonight, so we can check that out. Before the rumor mill gets started out there, I mean, Barry Boer, a congressman, got called for a vote, right? That's why he
called for a vote. Yeah,
that's a normal thing.
Now, I don't know. It's not reconciliation or FISA renewal. It's some other things. I think money for Ukraine, and he wants to vote against. But he is conducting legitimate business in Washington, D.C. We know that. We have verified that.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that more. Watching Jared Hudson's video about the, producing the documents here, this is kind of, for a young guy, that's a masterclass in political messaging to hear. It's like, hey, I don't think there's anything wrong here. Let's get this over and behind us. Let's just put the forms out there. Here's mine. I thought that was pretty savvy, the way that message. Accusatory or anything. It's like, hey, this is nothing to it. Just put the stuff out here.
But Sean, I mean, you know how this is. Mm-hmm. Like, where do you think all this smoke is being generated from? It's not Jeff Poore waking up. Hey, I wonder if we should check into Barry Moore's military service.
No, but, I mean, this is.
So it's like having it both ways.
But if you look at the people who don't do this for a living.
Don't do this, right. But just this is why you listen to 106.5, so you get the behind-the-scenes story. But, I mean, that's what I would just say is just be upfront about it. If you think this is a legitimate issue, then let's not play this cutesy game.
Yeah, well, and but I will say this, too. You've been talking about this morning. I don't think I've heard, any, campaigning on military record for him. So, That part is...
No, I don't think so either. It's not... Because obviously, Jared Hudson is a former Navy SEAL, and that's pretty impressive. So, yes,
but even in the past, Barry Moore hadn't campaigned all that. So I'll pick this up. Todd Stacey's going to join me here in just a little bit. 12:30, co-editor at Lanyap, Rob Hulbert. Of course, a lot of news over there. And we'll talk about a cease and desist letter and a whole bunch more. And now we're number two. John Young joins me. Prom send-off parties. What is this all about? John's going to break it down for us at 1.
All right. Well, y'all stay tuned for that. That's it for me. I got to get out of here. I will try to do better tomorrow back in Fairhope. Sorry, Phyllis. Once again, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.